Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I wanted to talk about something that sometimes happens oftentimes in youth groups, as churches will more often than not these days bring on a lot younger people, makes up the bulk of what is in their youth groups and youth programs. And this, I think, is a disservice. You know, youth are one of the most vulnerable positions. You should definitely have somebody older and wiser and far more experienced. You don't want a hipster coming in teaching your kids. You want a person coming in who has a lot of experience in life to teach your kids. And sure, they can have a lot of people around them who are younger, who might in some ways be able to relate a little bit better to the kids. But the challenge that we sometimes have if everybody is super young is the callousness and coarseness of our society tends to focus on humor at the expense of other people rather than much more a positive and appropriate humor, which might relate itself to, you know, I don't even really know of other examples. I know for me, my sense of humor is very dry and academic or very general. I might throw out a joke about, you know, either one of the two major overarching political parties. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I will call out the craziness in liberalism just as much as I'll call out the craziness in conservatism. Now, our culture is pretty good, despite what the Marxists and race baiters want to say. Our culture is generally pretty good, that we don't generally insult each other based on our racial elements, you know, skin tones, eye colors, and things like that. We don't have a lot of that. Sure, there's still sometimes, in my younger days, blonde jokes were better, but generally it was understood to be much more general rather than targeted at a person. Well, what I'm seeing these days, and have seen it for about 10-15 years, is that a lot of times in our modern world, our humor goes towards individual vulnerabilities or a person specifically targeting a person. Now, if everybody is having good fun and you're alone, that probably isn't the hugest deal in the world. But anytime other people or kids and such are involved, you need to be so much higher of a biblical standard. So when I was teaching a Chinese group years ago, I saw this type of insults going back and forth, and it was in playful humor, but it was still problematic. And I made them memorize this verse from Ephesians 4:29. Now, I have this memorized, but I want to read it verbatim so I don't accidentally leave out. Sometimes I'm inclined to leave out the last part. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Now, with that particular verse, I actually left a Bible study over that one once, like left that entire group of people, because we go in and we're going through Ephesians and we hit that part, and the whole rest of the night, that was the big joke. Throw some insult, ha ha ha, Ephesians 4:29, ha ha ha. And they were treating the word of God so callously. I looked at that. I said, this is nonsense. I left that group and I never went back. I sought out other places that are far more appropriate. Now, for better or for worse, you know, we have to ask and answer and address this issue of bullying. Why is this particularly important in the area of youth? Well, if you have a kid who is bullied, okay, he is experiencing some true targeting. And if he goes into a youth group now and your youth leaders are throwing those same jokes and insults back and forth, even if it's in good nature to the youth team, the leaders, and even the kids themselves, that bully who may still be evaluating Christ might come to the conclusion and say, you know what, these Christians are the same as everybody else, so I'll not worry about that. And you might have just lost somebody to the influence of God or the church. I'm not saying that you're going to impact his salvation, because they believe that God's sovereignty chooses salvation. I do, however, believe that as God chooses our salvation, our experiences might make that happen sooner or later in life. Unless you can give me a good biblical argument that the human experience itself can change when we become saved, you might save somebody a lot of grief if they become saved much earlier, whereas otherwise they have to experience a life of sin. But why this is so important is another verse. Now, I like the King James better, since I use NASB generally for teaching. I'm going to read it from NASB. And this is 1 Thessalonians 5:15, and it says, abstain from every form of evil. So this is a large section of a scripture, which I have memorized, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench your spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, holding fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Now, the King James version of this same verse, it looks like I don't have it pulled up. The King James version of the same verse says, avoid even the appearance of doing what is evil. I like that translation a little bit better, because what it is it shows us that even if our jokes towards one another are in a otherwise good nature, if somebody's looking out and doesn't understand the closeness of our relationship or have that same kind of friendship or relationship, you can alienate somebody because from the outside looking in, it has an appearance of evil. You have the appearance of being a group of people who are constantly insulting yourself. And particularly looking at that schoolyard bullied kid, he does not want to be any part of that nonsense. And so this is why when we go off to youth groups and camps and things like that, you have to have the utmost standard with this. We can't be running around callously in that, pleading off of the insensitivity or the insecurities, we'll say, of others, because we as Christians should be a vulnerable spark, people. In James chapter 5, I don't have the full verse pulled up, but in James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. If I cannot go into a Christian area and let my vulnerabilities known without those vulnerabilities being used against me later, I have no business being there at all. And kids can see this better than some other people can. So when you are working with other people in ministries, you have to have the utmost caution with how you are behaving. You must have the utmost caution with how you are behaving. You must at all times be in a position where you are not insulting people, even if it's in good, clean fun by everybody. You are not doing things that to somebody that's not in on the joke looking out, it looks evil, and it is not something that in any way, shape, or form does not build up, not just between the two people talking, but between anybody else who might be casually observing on the outside. We have to keep this standard high, because that is how we can win particularly young souls to Christ. Understanding, of course, I am a Calvinist. God is the one who calls us to have that transformed heart fully within Scripture. I just want to clarify that. But I do believe that our conduct can impact how well that happens or at what point in time somebody's life that happens, unless you can give me a good argument otherwise. But with that, we'll leave this daily walk a little shorter there. You can find other resources and the books I have on ourwalkinchrist.com. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support. Or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.